Bill.
Okay, thank you. Everybody's making a lot of good points, but, we're supposed to be standing up for peace. I mean, that's what Pacifica is all about. Think of the name, Pacifica. And, I just wonder if people in other organizations, other nonprofits, would probably be laughing at us if here we are instead basically bending over backwards, bending over backwards to protect those who may want to hurt us or who have already hurt us. We really need to stand up to oppression, and people that are, as Kathy was talking about, are really not acting in the best interest of Pacifica. I'd also like to point out that Bob's really not correct about the appeal process. There's three levels of appeal stated in here, more than you probably see just about anywhere else. I mean, you can appeal there's a waiting period, then there's a notice period, rather, and you can appeal it to the GM or his representative, then you can appeal it to the ED, and then to an arbitration panel. So any one of which of those may turn this over, and the arbitration panel would certainly not necessarily be standing up for just whatever management wanted. And also, finally, what Sasha talked about, the duty of loyalty, that doesn't have anything to do with Bradley Manning in this sort of case, as I understand. Duty of loyalty has a specific legal meaning. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to try to give a legal opinion. But duty of loyalty and duty of care and fiduciary duties are duties that all board members have. And it has nothing to do with being arrested for a demonstration, even if you're demonstrating against an organization. So I think there's plenty of levels of appeal. We really do need to protect ourselves from people that are really, they just want to hurt us. And I support the substitute motion.
Bob.
Okay, first of all, there's a conflation going on between mechanisms to deal with abuse and the question of who sits on these boards and how that's determined. Of course, there needs to be, and there are, in fact, methods to deal with genuine documented abuse found through due process. Pacifica has, an employee manual. There's rules in place, have been for many years. It's quite possible those could be strengthened, but those exist where, if management follows legitimate steps in conformity with labor unions where there are those, or with just kind of basic fairness principles in employment, that can be dealt with. And there have been discussions over time about codes of conduct for the board, and that's certainly something that could be looked at again. But the bottom line is that what we're dealing with is a set of bylaws that were the product of a struggle against extreme abuse and political repression by a group that was controlling the board of Pacifica. And for those who weren't around then or may have forgotten, the cry at several stations was bring back the fired and the banned, because those were the people who had stood up against management and said, this is an attempt to purge radical and leftist voices from Pacifica, and as a result, they were retaliated against by being fired and or banned. And that was something that the listeners at every station gave a lot of support to, because those were the true voices of conscience of the network, and they had been abused by management. So to now turn around all these years later, after safeguards were built into the bylaws to say that management is going to be accountable to elected boards, elected by the listeners 3/4 and 1/4 by the staff, and that anyone who is not serving properly or is not, is going against the best interests of the foundation can be removed through a democratic process that's collective. Not one manager sitting in an office and saying, well, I think you were banned for good cause and I'm going to uphold it. Or you were fired and so you can't sit on the board. And, to Bill's point about the three levels of appeal, they're all levels based on the definitions in the motion, which is things like individuals have been separated involuntarily for cause. Okay, that's a yes or no, right? If you were separated for cause, that's it. You are out. The appeal is merely, were you actually separated for cause or not? The appeal is not, well, yes, I was separated for cause, but I believe it was unjust. It was political retaliation. That's not part of what this motion says. And furthermore, it privileges the original management decision to either fire the person or ban the person, and basically puts the burden on the person who is wronged. And let's remember, in the case of WBAI today, there's at least a dozen people who never had a shred of paper telling them why they were banned. So management might retroactively assert that the person was allegedly creating a threatening behavior, an unsafe environment, but the person has never even been told that. And under this motion, you know, well, they've been banned for that reason, so according to management, and so that's it. They're out, and they can appeal, but again, the appeal is merely, were they actually banned because management said they did this behavior? So that's a sham. That's not any real appeal process. And I think the bottom line here is this is deeply, deeply undemocratic, okay? If these people are who are running for the board and get elected to the board are as destructive as some people say that they're so concerned by, then there needs to be some faith that the opponents of those people will bring this out during the election, you know, discussions, the on-air forums, and say, do you know that so-and-so did X, Y, and Z? Why would you vote to put such a person in office? And, you know, if indeed this is a democratic process, you know, which is a separate question, but those people who claim that we have a democratic governance system, then rather than leaving it to a sole manager subject to appeal by his or her boss, you know, one individual, you know, in a position of power, but rather to the voters at the first resort. And if something happens later, once they're in office, then you have the voters again through a recall process, or you have the fellow and sister board members who can say, no, this conduct is unacceptable. This person must be removed. But, you know, to relegate it to a single person subject to appeal to another single person is the kind of thing that on our airwaves we have hosts all the time denouncing when it happens in the government. I mean, when there's whistleblowers who get fired because they talked about, you know, the misdeeds going on by their bosses, and then the government says, oh, yes, but they violated procedure and they've been fired, and so they, you know, they have to suffer the consequences. We always, people at Pacifica always oppose that kind of system that says, well, you know, you got to defer to management. And so I think it would be just a disaster to start down that path here. And finally, I just want to address the bylaws issue because a member mentioned that the PNB has the right to define the phrase members in good standing. I think it's very clear from the context in Article 3, where it defines members in the Section 6, it talks about I'm just pulling it up here.
Could I make a point of order or personal privilege?
Rich. You can do either, but
I know that this is a committee meeting, but 10 minutes is an awfully long time for one individual to speak. Do we have any time constraints whatsoever?
Well, this is the only motion in front of us at the moment. I've been giving people some running room to speak. If the committee
saying 9.5 minutes is a rather long monologue.
George, since you're considering this, I'd like to be back on the stack since you're being liberal with people speaking. I would like to respond when Barbara's not.
Anyone can speak twice. I asked for people who hadn't spoken twice to have preference, but you're back on the stack, Kathy.
And so this is I just have one very brief comment.
Go ahead and finish.
So under Section 8 of the membership article, it says all members in good standing on the record date as determined under Section 10 of this article, these bylaws shall be entitled to vote by written ballot, et cetera. So it's clearly a reference to good standing by virtue, as it is in most organizations. Good standing is determined by having one's dues paid up or, you know, in the case of Pacifica, the volunteer time, if that's the method by which you became eligible to be a member. So, you know, if you look in context at these bylaws, that's all good standing refers to. It has nothing to do with an arbitrary ex post facto set of prohibitions that try to exclude people based on, you know, based on a manager's say-so. So I, again, assert that this is a violation of the bylaws and would have to be considered as a bylaws amendment.
Okay.
Would you add Carolyn to the stack, please?
Thanks. I heard Kathy and then R. Paul. R. Paul, I'm going to let you go first. You haven't spoken at all. And then Kathy and then Carolyn. Oh, I'm sorry. R. Paul and then Kathy and then Ken and then Carolyn.
Tracy,
and Marcel again for the stack.
Tracy has to be on the stack before me, I believe.
And Marcel, Tracy asked for a point of privilege. I didn't hear her want to be on the stack.
All right, sorry. Thank you.
R. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. I'm hearing all this stuff, and it's kind of ironic. People are complaining, we can't have these rules used for political abuse. And yet I remember certain people voting to constructively remove a delegate from the WBAI-LSB for disrupting meetings. However, the people who removed him had disrupted the meetings far more than he had, and later on did it much more than he had. And basically they couldn't get 16 votes to take him off, so they just had a very fast majority to suspend him permanently. Very nice. If you want to do things with a political edge, yeah, that can happen, and it has happened. We've watched it. And people don't have an objection to political abuses when they're a part of it. So, geez, this is crazy stuff here. We have people using other violent people to hold governance. And, you know, people are using violence and intimidation as a political tool on these boards. It's not happenstance that occasionally a crazy person might show up and do something and go away. It's that people are told what to do. People are brought in who are, in some cases, mentally unstable, in some cases, just very able to be, very brash to other people, and they're used. It's not happenstance. And if there's some sort of way of stopping this, we need to do that. On one hand, you could say whether there could be the abuse of getting rid of people for political reasons. On the other hand, there are people for political reasons who are destroying governance and are making it so that other people look at these meetings, some of these meetings, and they say, well, I was thinking about running for that, but geez, I'm not going to subject myself to this garbage. And that's what people say. And yeah, I mean, that certainly works out for the people who want their own little group to control everything. And so we've got to do something. We've got to do something. Some of the shenanigans that have taken place at both local and national board meetings, and I remember there's video up online of the now former CFO trying to give a report. She's sitting there giving a report, and people are walking up in back of her and wrapping a banner around her and, you know, disrupting what she's trying to say. Crazy stuff. Who would tolerate this? Nobody in their right minds tolerates this. I think that we need to have some sort of a rule. We need to do something about stuff, or otherwise we are not going to have any governance, and that will help Pacifica to collapse because good people are not going to want to get involved with this. That's it.
Kathy.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to respond about the notion of saying something on the air about someone, especially during the campaign period. There's a prohibition, certainly, of anyone from the staff or for the staff to have anyone on the air who might want to comment on the elections. The only thing that gets put on the air are the candidates themselves, and they generally are speaking to their own cause and not there to solve this problem for us by attacking someone. So I just think that that's an unrealistic remedy. And the other point I wanted to make, you know, the high drama of the Christmas coup. Yeah, well, I was kicked off the air from the show that I shared with Bob Helfax. We were both kicked off that show because we were on the air advocating on behalf of, you know, the change. Wasn't I shocked after the fact, the coup was over, everybody got back in only to discover, apparently, was decided for me that I was on the wrong political side somehow. And so I became the victim of the same kind of behavior that was used during the coup. And it's because the behavior itself is being used as a political tactic to get control, to maintain control, to undermine perceived opponents. You know, I just think it's time to put an end to it. It's time for us to be adults and to begin to act like responsible adults and not hold out that right that somebody has to be abusive to another human being within this organization, because that's what's being called for if we're not going to take responsibility for stopping it. Thank you.
Okay. Ken, then Marcel, then Carolyn. Ken? Ken Aaron, are you there? Okay, well, Marcel? I'll come back to
okay,
Ken.
I'm sorry.
Hello? Ken, is that you?
Yes. Is that
okay.
Next?
Yes,
could
you're...
You-
You're
help me. Let me go after Tracy. I think Tracy's on the phone.
She's not.
We'll get to a place.
Okay. Let us know when you want to get back on. Marcel.
Okay. This is a very strange position for me to be in. I just find this so odd that I'm arguing this way. All of the things that you're talking about have happened to me. I've been banned from my office. I took cameras in with me when I was banned from my office. I reported abuse and told the truth and had management turn on me behind it. All of the things you're talking about, I've lived them personally. But there is a toxicity at Pacifica I have never seen anywhere else. And there must be something either in the culture that permits this to continue year after year. I've been now with Pacifica for 4 years, and this seems to be just toxic. It never ends. And there must be a reason. I don't know whether it's structured within the bylaws. I don't know whether it's the culture of Pacifica. And if the comment is that other nonprofits are laughing at us, I was talking to someone today, and we are on the air with what we're doing, and they were talking to me about Pacifica. And it not only is embarrassing, it impedes our mission. We need to be funded. And part of being funded is not just writing a grant. You need, when your grant is up, you need the people who are people in position that recognize your organization and respect it. And it may be very good for us to believe that we have the right to just be out here as wild as we want to be, but it shows badly on us. There must be some way that's not draconian that we can control the toxicity in Pacifica. There must be some way to do it. Because all of the things that you're talking about happened to me in another organization, and it was not as toxic as Pacifica is day in and day out. That's why I try only to send positive things over the email. I'm so sick of seeing people dismember each other. It makes no sense to me. That's it.
Carolyn. Carolyn?
Okay, that's fine. Is Ken available, or shall I go ahead?
He said he'd get back to us when he could.
Okay, thank you. A couple of points. I think the points that Bob made are somewhat irrelevant. I think that the question, his complaints about the level of appeal being inappropriate, I think those are the safeguards in this. They were not available 12 years ago. And I think it's a bad comparison. Pacifica was a bunch of cowboys in those days. I think this is a real attempt to institute some safeguards, some protections for people, so nobody has to go through what Marcel went through, or what some of us went through, what Kathy went through. I think it's really important that we are instituting these safeguards. They may not be perfect. They are better than what there were, and they are better than nothing. And I think that's really important. The idea that there are methods of dealing with abuse in Pacifica, rules exist, we don't need anything else, that is, if I may say, ridiculous. Those union rules don't apply to management to a great extent, and they are not enforced, and they're not universal. So we need to put the force of PMV policies and procedures into what we expect of behavior. We cannot have this sort of thing continue. It's wearing us out. It's killing a lot of people. People have left in droves, and I think of the good people who have left because they couldn't stand this COINTELISH approach to government that has obtained, and I have to use that term. Somewhere, as Marcel points out, there's a toxicity. Yes, I don't think it's an accident. I think it's not just a bunch of weird people. And I'll leave it at that. I think the best we can do is really try to control this so that we have some control over behavior, disruption, and deliberate disruption. I think that is absolutely outrageous. No one, as Kathy said, has a right to be abusive to another human being, and by not instituting some sort of safeguards, we're saying, go ahead, you can do whatever you like. We'll be looking the other way while you do it. It's not acceptable. So let's put something in, imperfect as some people may think it is. It can always be amended, and it is better than nothing, which is what we have right now. Thank you.
Ken, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
You want to speak?
I want to mention some.
Ken, we can hardly hear you. It sounds very muffled.
You're fading in.
That's better.
Okay.
Now we can't hear you at all.
Okay, so there's a lot to be said. What Tracy said and Carolyn said is correct. The most important thing is it's a privilege to serve on the PMV. It is not a right. You can be elected. What Bob said is incorrect. Fair campaign practices prohibit people from just getting on the air and making allegations about other candidates. That would lead to complete chaos. We try to conduct the elections in a manner of decorum, not in a manner of mudslinging. So there is no course for that. And additionally, the management is bound by non-disclosure when somebody gets fired to prevent itself from getting all kinds of lawsuits. So, again, it doesn't go out to the public. The issues that Carolyn brought up are true. Whatever people are saying is supposed to be, it hasn't been working. And I'm going to say something. Oh, yeah, and one other thing. I'll talk as fast as I can. Some of the members here will constantly allude to putting ourselves at risk, as if to say they'll be right at the front to file a lawsuit, any chance they get, to attack the foundation and drive us into the dust with enormous legal bills. That's what we've been suffering. Everybody on the board knows about that, and they know the consequences that we just suffered this year because of all of this litigation that we get wrapped up in. Part of the prevention of that litigation and to improve our standing would be to prohibit people who are antagonistic to the operation of the organization, prevent them from getting on governance. It's kind of obvious. And I just want to say two more things. One is, I've heard it said, and I didn't think it was true, but I've seen it to be true. Some groups will operate. If you can't control it, destroy it. And they will do that on a committee, on a subcommittee, or in an organization. If you can't control it, destroy it. And I'll give you another maxim. Any organization or individual that doesn't take care of their own survival will eventually succumb to antagonistic elements who want to parasitically gain control of what that organism or individual has. So you have to take care of your own welfare. You can't just sit there and say, keep biting me, keep nipping on me. I won't do anything about it. These are just reasonable rules to preserve the functionality of the Pacifica National Board. And it is not a legal right to serve on the board. It's a privilege. So there's one last thing I want to say. I'd like to call the question.
Well, you don't. You can't call the question in committee. But
okay. Well, like I said, I'd like.
Okay.
Point of order.
The point is, we have about 20 more minutes. We need to take a vote first of all on whether or not to substitute for the motion we've really been discussing for the previous motion, which I take it will be pro forma, and then we need to vote on the motion. Can we go ahead and take the vote on substituting this for the previous motion? It's still possible to amend it after that, but it will at least take care of one piece of business. Is there any objection to going to a vote on that question? Okay, hearing none. Colleen, would you call the roll on that?
Okay, George, request for information. We're talking about the second amended motion by Tracy and by Bill.
On the floor is whether to replace the first motion that I read, which was in the agenda and was referred back from the PNB, with the motion that Bill provided as a substitute and which Tracy sent out earlier in the day.
Okay. Thank you. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Sharon Magamir?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazone?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can. Who is that?
John Wenger. I'm on mute. I've been trying to speak for a while.
after this vote is taken, John. Go ahead. Colleen, continue.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin?
Yes. This is out of order.
Brenda Medina?
No.
I'm sorry, I did. Bob Letter?
No.
Colleen O'Brien? No. Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
John Wenger? John Wenger? Is there anybody I missed?
Sasha Futran, I didn't hear.
Ken, Sasha. I both, yeah. You got that? Did you hear John Wenger?
Yes.
Hello?
Did you hear John Wenger?
Did not hear you, John. How do you vote on this?
I voted yes, affirmative.
Okay. Ken?
This is Sasha. Can you hear me?
Ken, no, Sasha, yes.
I vote no.
Okay.
Okay, can I go over the names again, George?
Well, we need to get Ken Aaron's vote. He did pass, and
Ken, you voted yes, correct?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All righty. I've got 8 yes and 6 no.
I have
9 yes and 6 no.
Okay. Well, I can go
in any case,
one more time. Okay.
Okay, go call it again, then.
All right, Ken Aaron.
I'm sorry, didn't we just leave this vote? Is this the same vote?
Is it the same vote?
She just wanted to get the count straight.
Point of order. I'm sorry, point of information.
Point of order, please.
Okay, first the point of information, then the point of order. What's the point of information?
Thank you. I think I'm at a point of order. Could the secretary simply read the yes vote, since that's the only one in question, and have people confirm?
That would be fine.
Thank you.
Lydia, you had a point of order?
That was Kathy, and it was the same point of order. Rather than take the vote over, just read.
Yes, would you just read the yes votes, Colleen?
Okay. Ken Aaron, yes. Okay, yes votes. Ken Aaron, Cheryl Magamir, Carolyn Burden, Bill Crozier, Kathy Davis, R. Paul Martin, George Ryder, Tracy Rosenberg.
John Wenger.
And John Wenger.
Okay, that makes nine.
That's correct.
In any case, the substitute passes, so what's on the floor now is the motion as Bill read it. John, you hadn't spoken at all. Did you want to speak to the motion?
Yes. My actual first question was, could you read the motion again so I knew exactly what it was, but I finally figured it out, because I did read it in the email.
Okay, good. I'm glad
second,
I answered
the second, my, the second point that I want to speak to is that we really have a problem of inadequate governance structure here, and I'm sensitive to the criticism of lack of due process, but we also have people running out of control, at least here at KPFK, and evidently the problem is worse other places. So I would basically urge the people who are for this motion to try hard to put in some form of due process that meets these objections, because we have had these problems of abuse of process before, and we need to address them. So, I'm generally sympathetic to the thing, but also, I'm not real keen on writing bylaws or de facto bylaws that need to be amended and have obvious problems with them. So, I'm highly conflicted on this one.
Anyone else want to speak to this or make an amendment to this motion that's here? I actually wanted to make a motion. I'm not quite sure what the chair's position in that, but I'll go ahead and do it. On the retroactivity, it's barely possible, not likely, but barely possible, that this might be passed in the next two meetings, in which case I want it to be clear that it does not apply to anybody who was involved in this current election. So I would like to add a sentence to it at the end of the phrase that says this policy does not apply retroactively to already seated delegates, and I would like to this policy does not apply retroactively to candidates for delegate positions at the time of passage of this policy. So just to make it very clear.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Tracy for the stack, and actually this is a point of order.
Good.
That goes first, I think.
Point of order, Tracy.
Didn't we agree that we were going to a vote on the substitute motion and then on the main motion? I'm not clear procedurally what we're doing here.
Well, what's on the floor now is the motion as the main motion.
Uh-huh.
So it's on the floor, it's amendable, you can do what you want with it. The first vote was to make this the main motion by removing the previous motion that had been sent by the PNB.
Okay, and we did not agree to go to a vote on both. We just agreed to go to a vote on one.
That's correct.
Okay, that was not my understanding of how we generally proceed, but okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Bill for the stack.
Good.
Yeah, you know, I just want to remind everybody, this was, you know, this didn't come up during this election. This was, this motion's been on the agenda for the PNB for over a year, and it just finally, the PNB finally got up to it and, you know, and then referred it to our committee. So I wouldn't worry too much about this particular election one way or the other. And, you know, if by some chance it would apply to somebody here on this election, why would you want to decide, well, if somebody's there to do harm to the foundation and would come under the provisions of this motion, why would you say it's okay for them to be on the board? It just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. So I guess I don't understand the reason for George's amendment. It doesn't seem like that would be necessarily helping the foundation.
Well, I'd like to speak to that. Anybody else want to speak for or against this amendment?
Carolyn was on the stack, please.
Yes.
Yeah, Bill expressed my thoughts exactly. I do think that it's not necessary to add an amendment to that. It's self-evident that this is not going to be retroactive because it doesn't say it is retroactive. So I think also people who are worried about that or about other aspects, if this is voted down, there's not going to be a chance to amend it. If it is voted up when it comes to the PNB, it can be amended. So I would urge you, if you're thinking about that and realizing that we do need some way to deal with the disruptions within the foundation, that the chance to do it better will be available going forward to amend this once it's passed.
Let me speak to why I made it. There is a paragraph in there that says that this is not going to be retroactive to people already sitting. Bill basically expressed...
A point of order. Is there a cue?
I'm sorry to what Carolyn said.
Mr. Chair, isn't there a cue on this?
He's motivating his motion, his amendment.
No, he already did.
No, he didn't.
There was no...
You already motivated the amendment.
I haven't, in fact, motivated the motion. I simply said it, A. And, B, there was no cue at the time when I started speaking. So I'm going to continue speaking. If you'd like to be on the stack, you're next.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
What Bill said was essentially, well, if there's somebody who's actually in the election queue and this does, in fact, get passed, why don't we apply it to them? And the reason is that it is retroactive, that people were allowed to be candidates before this rule was applied, and to change the rules in the middle of an election is... not fair to them, and will certainly get us in a lawsuit that we have a rule made up after you were a legitimately a candidate that now eliminates you from candidacy. This is a small point. I put it in just to deal with that possibility, and I would like to just sort of dispose of it. If you don't like it, fine, leave it out, but I think it needs to be there. Because it is just barely possible that this could happen before the next election.
Tracy for the stack.
Point of order.
I had Ken first.
Point of order.
I'll remove myself from the stack.
This is Bob with a point of order.
Okay. What's the point of order?
Point of order is that George's amendment really sidesteps the fact that the bylaws forbid this. Specifically, Article 3, Section 8.
That's not a point of order.
Yes, it is a point of order.
Finish your point of order, Bob.
It would be a violation of the bylaws to adopt anything that allows retroactivity. It says that all members in good standing on the record date, as determined under Section 10 of this article of these bylaws, shall be entitled to vote by written ballot as any matter that properly comes before the members for a vote. And then later it talks about other rights that flow from the right to vote, including the right to run for positions on the board. So therefore, this motion cannot be applied retroactively because it would violate this part of the bylaws. So it doesn't even need to be amended. It just needs to be a ruling of the chair that it cannot apply retroactively to a member who is in good standing on the record date for this election.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
So what I hear you saying, Bob, is that I should withdraw the amendment simply by saying that here, that it would have the effect of preventing it from being made retroactive. I don't think so. I think I would like to leave it stand as a clearly stated amendment. It's certainly in support of the bylaws. It's not, as you interpret them, it's not a contradiction to that. So I don't. It may be redundant, but it's not out of order. So. I'll just leave it stand, and we can dispose of yay or nay on that quickly and move on to a vote on the entire thing. So does anyone want to speak to the question of the amendment?
Yes, Carolyn.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Trace that. Oh,
God.
Okay. So the ruling of the chair is that the amendment can go forward. I guess I don't want to say anything more about it. I think I've said all I need to say about it. It is discussable. Does anyone want to discuss it?
There is a stack, yes. Carolyn, on the stack, please.
It on the stack to discuss the appeal of the ruling of the chair.
Yes.
Is that what you want? Okay. Well, Carolyn, go ahead. And who else wanted to speak?
Tracy. I'll be fast.
Go ahead.
I'll defer to Tracy.
Did you not put me on the stack?
Who was that?
Kathy.
Kathy, I didn't hear you. Sorry.
You know what? I'll defer to both Tracy and Kathy because they haven't spoken recently.
Okay. Go ahead, Tracy, and then Kathy.
Guys, this is a committee, and just to remind everyone, the collection is over in 6 days. Exactly. 6 days, starting with tomorrow. I think it may actually be 5 days since today is pretty much over. So the amendment is, frankly, unnecessary. I do not share Bob's opinion that it's out of order, but it serves no practical purpose. And considering that we're 2 hours into this meeting, I think that we need to move to a vote on the main motion as soon as possible. I don't think this amendment protects anyone from anything. I don't think it changes anything. And I don't quite understand why it's on the floor. The election is 9/10 done, and we are just a committee, and I'm on the PNB, and I guarantee you that the likelihood of us passing this tomorrow is almost non-existent. So basically, the amendment is meaningless.
This is Lydia.
Kathy, then Lydia.
And then Carolyn after Kathy. Thank you.
Yes, well, I mean, I agree with Bob on the other hand, and so I will vote to not uphold the ruling of the chair. However, if that vote fails, I will be voting for the amendment because I do think we are in jeopardy here by virtue of this motion and by virtue of what I believe will be the will on the PMB.
George?
Yes?
George, thank you.
Let's get to you, Carolyn. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack?
This is Kathy.
Kathy's next. You were deferred to. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you.
My apologies for skipping over you, Kathy.
Sorry?
My apologies for skipping over you. You go ahead.
Yeah, I accept. I don't think that this is a point that should make or break the motion. To say that it's not retroactive to me means that it applies to anything that might have occurred up to the point that the motion is passed. Now, if something occurs in the future, then the motion would apply. That's my understanding, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So then, that being the case, I would support it because my interest here is not this particular election. My interest is the future of Pacifica. Okay? So I'm interested in putting something in motion that's going to help to protect this network for generations to come. So that being the case, I think it's fine to add that comment about it not being retroactive. Because if a person is going to be violent or engage in one of these activities, that's not going to stop them from doing it in the future. So I'm fine with that. I could vote for that. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we're about out of time. And so
the ruling of the chair.
We're going to take a series of votes. The first one will be on the ruling of the chair. The next one will be on the amendment. If the ruling of the chair is not sustained, then the amendment will no longer be on the floor, and we will simply take a vote on the unamended motion. If the ruling of the chair is sustained, we will take a vote on the amendment, and then we'll take a vote on the motion itself. Since we're out of time for this meeting, there's nothing else that can be done at the moment. So I'll ask Colleen if you will call the roll on yay or nay. Yay supports the ruling of the chair that there's nothing out of order in making that amendment, and a no doesn't support the ruling of the chair. Would you call the roll, please?
Okay, on just request for information. So yes vote supports your
right.
statement, George? Okay, thanks.
Well, it doesn't support the amendment. It says it's appropriate that the amendment be made. So.
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Sharon Magamir? Sharon Magamir? Carolyn Burden? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I will
Carolyn
pass.
Burden?
I'll pass, thank you.
Lydia Brazel? Lydia Brazel?
No.
If everyone would unmute themselves, it would make us go faster.
Did you hear me? I said no.
Yes, we heard you, Lydia.
Thank you.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sasha Futron? Sasha
no.
Futron?
No.
Bob Letter?
No.
R. Paul Martin?
Yes.
Brenda Medina?
No.
Colleen O'Brien? Yes. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
John Winger?
Yes.
Okay, 9 yes and 4 no.
It was a pass.
And a pass.
Colleen, I was
Carolyn Burden.
Carolyn Burden? I vote yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the challenge to the chair fails. The amendment is on the floor. Is there any objection to the amendment, which makes it not retroactive to anybody who's in the election cycle at the moment?
Yes.
Okay, Carolyn, would you, Colleen, would you call the roll again? So a yes vote is a vote for the amendment. We will then go to a vote on the whole motion with the amendment, and a no vote is opposed to the amendment. We will guess then go to a vote on the whole motion without the amendment.
Okay.
Go ahead, Colleen.
I couldn't quite hear that.
This is a vote just on the amendment. The yes vote sustains the amendment, which makes it not retroactive to this current election, and a no vote, the amendment would fail. It would simply not be there anymore. Okay, Colleen, would you call the roll?
Right. Ken Aaron?
No.
Cheryl Magamir? Carolyn Burden?
I'm sorry, yes.
Lydia Brazel?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sasha Futron?
Yes.
Bob Letter?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin?
No.
Brenda Medina?
Yes.
Colleen O'Brien? Yes. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstain.
John Winger?
Abstain.
Okay, Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstain.
I already said I abstained.
Okay. I have 9 yes and 3 no and 2 abstain.
Okay. That's what I get, too. So the amendment is therefore attached to the main motion. We're now going to take a vote on the main motion as amended. Colleen, would you call the roll? A yes vote is you abstain forwarding this to the PNB for their consideration. A no vote is you don't.
All right. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Shara Magamira? Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazone?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Sasha Futron?
Pass. I don't know what we're voting on.
Voting on the main motion as amended.
To not allow this to be retroactive.
No.
The amendment was simply to not allow it to be retroactive to anybody who's in the election process at the moment. The whole main motion is what's on the floor with that one amendment.
That amendment passed. I am not able to listen the last podcast.
Yes, that amendment.
Voting yes would be in favor of voting yes would not allow this to be retroactive. Is that correct?
Oh, no. That amendment has been attached to the main motion. We are now voting on the entire main motion, the whole thing.
No.
Okay.
Bob Letter?
No.
R. Paul Martin?
Yes.
Brendan Medina?
No.
Colleen O'Brien? No. Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
John Winger?
Yes.
All righty. We have 8 yes and 6 no.
Okay. Motion passes. I will forward this to the PNB, and I also recommend that this be passed on to legal counsel for questions about whether this needs to be a bylaw amendment and whether we are, in fact, if there's any other issue with it that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, point of order.
Yeah.
Hi, George. We passed a motion last month with regard to our elections, and you promised you would mail it out that night. I sent 3 notices to you saying, well, where is it? I haven't gotten it yet. Our election's running out of control in L.A.
I sent it out with the minutes. I forget it. It's in the minutes.
Okay. Are you going to send the motion out tonight in the minutes? Tonight's motion we just passed. Is that going to come in the minutes, or we send it to us right now?
Well, you've already got it, except for the amendment. If you'd like, I'll send it with the amendment just right now.
Yeah, that'd be a good practice. Thank you.
George, okay. A point of order, Carolyn.
Yes.
If you pass it on to you're going to pass it on to the PNB, but the suggestion that it go to council has not been passed by this committee. Could you make that clear when you forward the motion?
I will recommend that. We can't pass it on to council anyway. It has to go through the chair.
It's a recommendation to that
director's committee.
It's come from you. Thank you.
Okay, fine.
It'd be you and 2 directors.
Mm-hmm. That is the way it has to go, George.
What's that?
Directly to council with 2 directors signing on.
Well, it can also be sent by the chair. And if so I have Lydia signing on. Me signing on. Marcel, did you want to stand on?
Yes, I'll sign on. And I think the chair might, she's inundated right now, so might be cumbersome. Okay.
Okay. Will do. And that doesn't require the committee's approval. Is there anything else before we close out?
Hey, Thomas, how did it go?
I want to for a serious and committed discussion about this issue. And thank you all for participating. Good night, all.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night.